Welcome back. You are listening to Nate the Hate on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. Be sure to like the video and subscribe to the channel if you have not already. And I'd like to thank the Zelda Sensei for generously donating $100 to support the channel and is this week's dedication. And if you'd like to support the channel, we have a Streamlabs link in the description below. Donate any dollar amount, ask a question, and we will answer it at the end of the episode. Donate $100 or more, and we will dedicate the episode to you. And today's episode is once again dedicated to the Zelda Sensei. And with that, I'd like to welcome in my co-host, Modern Vintage Gamer.
What's going on, Nate? It's great to be here. And I'm enjoying the sunshine. How about yourself? What's the weather like over there?
It has been cloudy, rainy for the last few days. It's supposed to be cloudy and rainy again tomorrow. So a very dreary week, but a good week to play some games like Final Fantasy 16.
Absolutely. What are we talking about today, though?
Unfortunately, not Final Fantasy 16. But we're going to talk about the recent Nintendo Direct that aired just over a week ago. And as you know, we don't like to give a recap episode of what the Nintendo Direct was. Everyone watched it. You know what was there. You know whether or not you liked the game. So our opinions on those things really don't matter all that much. What we like to do is delve into what the Direct showed in terms of promise and potential for the future of not only the Nintendo Switch, but Nintendo in general, and the prospective window of when we could see new hardware. And if there was anything in this Direct that gave us a better inclination as to when Nintendo could bring a successor to the market, or if we are still operating, you know, in the dark in that regard. And when we looked at this Direct, Nintendo, I would say they brought it. Would you agree with that assessment?
Yes, I do think that they brought it, as you kind of put it. Like, I think it was an interesting Direct overall. And I remember when we talked about our predictions, we said that it was going to be one of the most difficult ones to predict because it could have gone a couple of different ways. But look, overall, it was a very good Direct. I felt like it was probably above average on my scale of Nintendo Directs. I think it was something that had some surprises as well as some locks. I think, you know, some of the things that we had predicted on the predictions episode did come to fruition. And look, I think it was overall a very, very solid Nintendo Direct, and one that, you know, really just made Nintendo fans feel a lot more comfortable about, you know, now and the end of the year, because there's a lot of things coming out.
Yeah, I mean, this Direct, as you mentioned, it was something that we went into our predictions with a great deal of pause, because it was difficult to predict as to what Nintendo would bring to the show, especially when you would consider the possibility of a September or an autumn Direct. And it came down to what games made the most sense for Nintendo to reveal and announce in detail in June versus holding them a few more months for that late 2023 style Direct. And what we saw with this Direct was that it was incredibly Mario focused. That was clearly the theme of this Direct, where you saw a new 2D Mario game, a Luigi's Mansion remake, a new Super Princess Peach. Those two games are simply just dated for 2024, and they gave very minimal details, and even the trailers that were on display really lacked substance. So you could almost make the argument of, why were those games even announced at this particular Direct and not held for either later this year or even early 2024? And the only thing I could come away with was, this was a Mario-focused Direct for whatever reason, maybe because the movie came out later, you know, earlier this year, and Nintendo wanted Mario to be that focal point with this particular presentation. But that also plays into that role of Nintendo still has future games to announce for the Switch hardware, as we've discussed time and time again. Metroid Prime 4. And, you know, that's one of those games that we felt had the potential of being at this June Direct, but easily could be held till September. It's all dependent on when the game is going to release in 2024.
I'd even take it further, Nate, and say maybe even hold it for the February, March direct next year, potentially. Or the February direct.
That's definitely a thought that is entering a lot of people's minds. And, you know, we'll definitely have that clear answer come September if Metroid Prime 4 is not there come September. We know the answer that the game is not coming out this fiscal year. And then you have to begin to wonder, is that a strategic maneuver by Nintendo to say we want to hold the game until a little later in 2024? Or is it a case of the game is not ready, or not to get into it now, but, you know, there is always that theoretical thought of, is Nintendo holding it as a next-gen launch title?
Yeah, I see this around social media a lot, this question that's being asked. I see different people have different opinions about Metroid Prime 4. Some people believe that it's just going to be a next-gen title, or that's being held back for the next gen. I'm not of that belief. I think that this game was announced for the Switch and it will be available on the Switch. And I'm not really sure if it will be a next gen game or if it'll be a cross gen game. I think the focus really is to get Metroid Prime 4 ready to go on the Nintendo Switch as they had announced all those years ago now. So I would expect to see it at some point next year. I couldn't really say when. Hopefully we'll learn more about that maybe in September, like you said, or, you know, early next year, I think is the move.
Right. And we can talk more about, you know, the possibility of a direct coming later this year, a little later in the episode. I want to get back on the, you know, main thought process of how this direct has shaped Nintendo's 2023 and 2024, and how 2023 is now shaping up, is that it is clear that Nintendo still has meaningful software left in the pipeline. A 2D Mario game is a major release. This isn't something to scoff at. This is a game that can sell 20, 30, 35 million copies on the Switch. Easily. This is a huge release for this holiday, and that says to me, Nintendo is looking at the Switch and saying, we have a lot more to go. We are not giving up on the system yet. And strap yourselves in, because we've got some heavy hitters still to come.
Yeah, it's like they're at the card table playing poker and they've got a full house. You know what I mean? Like they've still got a good hand to show, right? And I think that 2D Mario, even though a lot of, you know, there's a narrative that it's not as sexy, obviously, as Mario Odyssey 2 or a 3D Mario game. You're right, Nate. They sell a lot. I mean, look at the sales of New Super Mario Brothers U on the Switch. It just, I mean, I think it's still selling as we speak. It's an absolute monster in terms of sales. And I think, you know, coupled with the movie this year, which has done obviously extremely well, and the fact that this is not just an asset flip style game. It's not, they didn't just take, you know, Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe and, I don't want to say just, you know, reskin it or asset flip the game, but this game looks completely different. You know, they've gone for a different aesthetic. It's very subtle, but it's still its own style, but it's still a Mario game. And I think the features and the mechanics that they've shown us of this game have gotten a lot of people excited, myself included. I can't wait to play this game, man. Like, I'm really hyped about it. And look, I think this is a really great move by Nintendo to offer a 2D Mario game for the holiday. I think it's absolutely the right play. And it's, like you said, it's going to sell a lot of units.
Yeah, when you look at Super Mario Brothers Wonder, the first thing that stood out to me, beyond just the aesthetic change from the new Super Mario Brothers series, which was stagnant, boring, dull, is how much personality and charm immediately came through with Wonder. This is what you and I remember 2D Mario games to be. We saw the evolution from Super Mario Brothers 1 to, Yoshi's Island on the Super NES and how each new 2D installment grew in visual design, new ideas, gameplay mechanics, and it was always introduced with that new artistic direction. So it's so refreshing to see Nintendo kind of go back to that root design and evolve the 2D Mario franchise again. And, you know, there's been a lot of quality 2D games introduced since New Super Mario Brothers came to market way back on the DS in, I believe it was what, 2006, 2007?
2006, I believe. I believe so.
Like, you look at Ubisoft when it came out with Rayman Origins.
Yeah, great game.
Total fantastic game. And it was that visual direction that people said, wow. Remember when 2D platformers were visually appealing? And now Nintendo finally took note of that and said, okay, we used to be the experts at this. Let's do it again. So, you know, Super Mario Brothers Wonder, it's going to be a big release this holiday. And it definitely changed that entire conversation that had surfaced earlier this year of Nintendo not having any big hitters in the second half. And another game that further dismissed that narrative is the release of Super Mario RPG coming this November.
Oh, what an announcement. What an announcement. Very, very excited to see this one. And yes, just like 2D Mario, Super Mario Wonder, Super Mario RPG, the remake, looks fantastic. And I think, I mean, I have to go back and listen to the predictions again, but I'm pretty sure you mentioned that this could be there because you were talking about how its absence on NSO has been very, very telling for such a long time. And look, here we are. So again, I'm very, very excited about what they've shown us with this one. It's interesting because Super Mario RPG wasn't a huge seller. I'm not really sure why it wasn't a massive seller on the Super NES. I think it was one of those games, and I have to go back and look. It kind of came out later on in the SNES's life cycle. So potentially, you know, people had kind of moved on from the Super NES. But whatever the case, this is going to sell a lot as well. And I think it's an absolute, you know, an absolute the right move to make once again, to bring a classic game to the Switch. People have heard about this game. People know about this game. A lot of people have never played this game, and I think they're going to be very, very excited when they do. It's a fantastic game. Fantastic game.
Now, in the Direct, Nintendo had also announced some other 2023 releases coming out later this year, and those include some of the Pokemon Scarlet and Violet DLC, the expansion, a Detective Pikachu game. And we had a surprise stealth release of Pikmin 1 and 2 available on the eShop as of last week. And they'll be getting physical releases in September. And, you know, this is just one of those cases that Nintendo once again said 2023 is a pivotal year for us. And we have the software for the duration of the calendar year. Every month, except for, I believe it is December,
something is coming out.
Has a first party release right now.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, like we were talking about the Switch forecast, you know, a few episodes ago. And I think there was a question about the sales forecast, about estimating 15 million units, Switch units for this fiscal year. And we were wondering, A, was Nintendo looking to potentially adjust that number, for, you know, down, or, you know, hold tight on that number? And all of a sudden, I feel like that 15 million is well and truly within reach, right? Like, they've come out and just announced some big games, not big in terms of size, in terms of like the actual games themselves, but big games that sell not only software, it also sells hardware as well. So I just think that, you know, having one first party release every single month except for December, and look, we may get a shadow drop in December, who knows what they're planning. Potentially they could give us something. I think they're doing all the right things to really just make Switch owners feel comfortable that, hey, look, you've heard these rumblings about next generation and new hardware, but we're not done yet. And we'll be done when, you know, we say that we're done. And I think the Direct, if anything, went a long way to really just kind of reassure fans and customers that we're going to be on the Switch for a little while yet. We're not done yet, you know. So I think the entire, you know, month or the entire remainder of this year is for that reason. And I think, you know, next year, I mean, that's going to be interesting to see what that looks like after the fiscal year. But look, Nintendo is definitely doing all the right things to not only sell hardware, but to sell, you know, a lot of software.
Yeah, the Direct definitely felt like it was a statement for, you know, shareholders to say, we put out our forecast. A lot of people thought, man, 15 million units, that might be a lot. And Nintendo said, no, we're going to hit that goal. Potentially, maybe we even exceed it. I mean,
possibly.
Definitely premature to put out that type of prediction at this time. But Super Mario Wonder is going to move a lot of hardware. It's going to move a lot of software, as you said. So the potential is there. It all comes down to word of mouth when the game comes out. I mean, when you think of system selling software, years ago, generations ago, you thought of a 2D Mario game. That began to shift a bit to the 3D Mario games. But when you look at what New Super Mario Brothers did on the DS, the Wii, it moved a lot of hardware. And yeah, even New Super Mario Brothers U had assisted in moving hardware. The game, regardless of its quality, still had an impact because 2D Mario games speak to the casual audience.
Yep.
3D Mario still has that stigma to it where it's, oh, it's complex. I can't just pick up and play it. I like going from A to B in a stage, and that's where the 2D Mario games shine. Youth can play it, and lapsed gamers who are adults now can pick up, play, and immediately know how to get to the end goal. So this is going to sell a lot of hardware when it's introduced in October, and Nintendo's going to have a, I won't say historic, but they're going to have a very big holiday later this year. Now, I do want to pivot into 2024 and some of the impact or the influence that this Direct has moving into 2024. As we kind of touched on earlier with Metroid Prime 4 being absent from this particular Direct, doesn't really mean anything yet. We have to see what comes later this year in regards to that title. But Nintendo did announce a few games that are coming in 2024. As previously mentioned, an enhanced version of Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon, and a new Princess Peach game. And at the moment, all we know is they're coming to Switch in 2024. But when I see those two games, one thought comes to mind. And that thought is, these are transitionary games.
Yeah. I agree with you. They're definitely transitionary games. Like, I just get that feeling. Especially, like you said, they kind of announced them. And they announced them kind of early, right? Like normally they don't normally do that where they say this game's in development, you know, and then we don't hear about it for a while. But the fact that they did announce the Super Princess Peach game and the Luigi's Mansion game for next year and basically just said, look, these games are in development, we'll have more to share. I got that feeling as well that they're definitely, you know, transitionary games as well. So yeah, I think it's a very interesting move because Nintendo normally, you know, they don't make you wait very long for a game. You know, it's usually a 3 to 6 month kind of window of time. And to do that, you know, is not something they normally do on a Nintendo Direct. So I agree with you on that one.
And, you know, we see every generation from Nintendo, we see this transitionary period. And you can go back to the 3DS just as a recent example that in 2018, one of the games that was kind of moonlighting that particular hardware was an enhanced version of Luigi's Mansion 1. And now here comes Luigi's Mansion 2, potentially being positioned as that transitionary title as the Switch begins to fade and, you know, a successor is birthed and brought into the world. And Nintendo does this every single generation. You can go back to, we can just go back 20 years, you know, back to the GameCube, where you can see that slow trickle of releases of smaller IPs, still quality, still loaded with sales potential, but they're no longer those AAA efforts. They fall into that double A, even single A. You get like a Yoshi game. Mm-hmm. You get a couple more Kirby games. You get a WarioWare, which we're getting later this year. You just get these smaller releases that fill out that release lineup just to give that base something to play as Nintendo's primary teams have begun to work on brand new software for next generation hardware. And those two announcements really stood out to me as Nintendo is kind of publicly admitting the Switch is on its way out. It's not in the immediate. You still have 12 to 18 months left of the Switch, maybe beyond that in terms of overall Switch support. You could still be getting Switch games from Nintendo going into 2025 because there's always an overlap period. But Nintendo is going into that back catalog now and saying, what are some cheap, quick releases we can do of some of our underutilized games that maybe were well acclaimed on their original hardware that we can port over, sell a few million copies, keep the base satisfied, and just fill out that release lineup. And those two games fit the bill perfectly.
What do you think Zelda Tears of the Kingdom DLC fits? Do you think that's also something that you would consider transitionary as well? So I kind of feel like that would be something that they would be doing, because we heard rumblings about Tears of the Kingdom DLC. It wasn't at this direct, and I didn't really think it would be. It's still too early, you know, because, I mean, the game's only been out for 6-7 weeks now. But do you think Tears of the Kingdom DLC will be something that they have lined up in their back pocket for next year? And do you think it's a transitionary, I can't say that word, transitionary type thing for them?
I would think if you had a Zelda transitionary title release, I would think that's better suited for something like a Twilight Princess, Wind Waker, a Link Between Worlds, a smaller, cheaper release. Whereas Breath of the Wild DLC or expansion, I think could still be positioned as a fairly meaty, you know, release for this particular hardware and ecosystem.
Yeah.
But I could see where you want to say, okay, you know, Tears of the Kingdom was a big release for us. We want to give you one more big, satisfying meal with the game before we're just cutting it loose. We're done with the game. I could see where you could potentially make the argument how it is transitionary of Nintendo just saying, big game, now we're moving on. But you also have, you know, you have Metroid Prime 4, which, you know, we've touched on, remains to be dated. You have the Fire Emblem 4 remake of Genealogy of the Holy War, which we discussed in our predictions episode as something that I am anticipating will be announced in the September or autumn direct, if there is one, for an early 2024 release, because that's what they did with Fire Emblem Engaged last year.
Yeah.
And it just fits the pattern of how they treat the Fire Emblem games.
What about F-Zero GX? So we still believe that's a thing and that's going to come out based on Metroid Prime Remaster and then Pikmin 1 and 2. Do you think that F-Zero GX is still slated to come out this year? And do you think it's just going to be another shadow drop, maybe at a September Nintendo Direct potentially?
Potentially, yes. I mean, if you want to you look at Metroid Prime Remaster and you say, okay, like that's an interesting release pattern, how you handle that shadow drop, physical release about a month later.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had it repeated with Pikmin 1 and 2. And now at that point, that's a trend.
Yeah.
This is going to be something that Nintendo utilizes as often as it works out for them. So now you set an expectation. So when we come up to the next Direct, whenever it may be, there's going to be an expectation that there's going to be another GameCube game getting an enhanced release on the Switch and it will shadow drop.
Yeah.
And I understand maybe that's a dangerous precedent to put out there into the universe. And when it comes prediction time for the next direct, we will be going into it with the idea of what GameCube game could Nintendo potentially shadow drop right now. But I will counter this with Metroid Prime 1 Remastered. You're using that release to build hype and anticipation for Metroid Prime 4,
mm-hmm.
even though it was absent. With Pikmin 1 and 2, once again, that's marketing for the upcoming release of Pikmin 4.
Yeah.
So, like, both of those releases make sense. You can see where, from a marketing standpoint, there's value with them.
So, let me play devil's advocate a bit on Metroid Prime Remaster. So, it came out earlier this year. It was fantastic. We think that Metroid Prime 4 is probably going to be a 2024 release. I mean, we're almost certain it is. We don't feel like Metroid Prime 4 is coming out this year. Do you think too much time would have passed by then where Metroid Prime Remaster, kind of the buzz surrounding that, just has kind of fizzled away? Because we're assuming it's going to be at least a year between those two releases. Unless, of course, they kind of tease us with Metroid Prime Remaster 2. But let's forget about Metroid Prime Remaster 2, because at the moment, we're only speculating about that. Do you think that the buzz has kind of fizzled out between those two releases? Because Pikmin is, I mean, look, they announced the two games, and Pikmin 4 is, you know, is coming very, very soon. How do you feel about Metroid Prime, you know, when we talk about, you know, comparing the original remaster to Metroid Prime 4?
From a hype and marketing standpoint, in terms of building anticipation of having a limited window, it is too significant, with it being, you know, potentially 12 months plus. And that's where I do entertain the very realistic probability that come a late 2023 direct, that the shadow drop then would likely be Metroid Prime 2 mm-hmm. remastered, because it makes sense. And then if you want to get the third one out, which, I mean, this is just pure hypothetical speaking, it's pure speculation, not based on anything, is that if you have Prime 2 out, let's say August, September, whenever the direct could potentially air, and then we have a February direct, and Metroid Prime 4 isn't, you know, comes out in the second half of 2024, you have Metroid Prime 3 shadow drop in February 2024.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the whole trilogy out, spaced out, you know, 6 to 7 months apart.
Yeah.
And then you have 4 release after the entire trilogy. Now, that's probably too ideal, right? That's almost like that dream scenario of, wow, we have 4 Metroid Prime games in 18 to 20 month time period.
Right.
But from a marketing standpoint, it makes a lot of sense. It's just a question of, is that what Nintendo's going to do? And, you know, obviously it's all started with F-Zero. If I had to choose between Metroid Prime 2 getting a shadow drop in August or September versus F-Zero GX,
yeah,
my favoritism is definitely going with F-Zero.
Agree. I want F-Zero. We need F-Zero.
We do. And like I said, you know, I've heard about an F-Zero project dating back to last year. So it's really just a matter of when, not if. Though you could make the case that was very similar to what happened with Metroid Prime 1. It was a case of when, not if. And Nintendo sat on the game for quite some time. So hopefully F-Zero isn't sat on just for the sake of it. And so, like I said, when prediction time comes, we can debate which GameCube game's coming over.
You brought up something interesting. You mentioned they've sat on the game. So out of the games that we saw at the Nintendo Direct, Mario Wonder, Mario RPG, do you think that Nintendo was sitting on some of these releases? Like, I feel like Mario Wonder is a game that I don't want to say it's been completed development, you know, like 2 years ago, but I feel like it's a game that they've had ready to go in their back pocket. And I feel like this 2023 holiday season was what they had always planned for this game, at least you know, going back a couple of years. Do you think that's accurate to say that?
I would say that when we had the February Direct earlier this year and we had discussed how, you know, the omission of a 2D Mario game was surprising, is that Nintendo easily could have announced the game then, could have dated the game then, because the game had likely gone gold, or at least was, you know, deep into the QA process and all of that, probably by summer of last year, I would estimate, just on my own personal opinion, because that fits Nintendo's pattern of how they handle these games, especially the Mario games. I believe it was, it's either 3D World or New Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe that they had found was sitting on the server complete for a year, 6 to 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that would fit Nintendo's typical thing of this game was done a year ago. We just waited for the right time to announce and release it.
Right.
And, you know, it's a great luxury for a company to have to be able to sit there and say, we can release this game whenever we really want it. And the fact that you had the Mario movie earlier this year and, you know, Nintendo could have released the game probably now if they wanted to and chose not to because they know the sales potential is going to be bigger in October, where they can move hardware with it, they can make bundles, they can do all of this other marketing, just shows you that Nintendo, as odd of a company as they are, as baffling as the decisions they make, they do tend to know what they are doing and they know when the moment is right to strike with a major release.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, I was a little surprised that there wasn't a Mario game tie-in with the movie, but if you go back and think about it, it was never going to come out in April, right? It's always going to be a holiday game because you're right. It's going to sell like hotcakes and it's going to sell systems like hotcakes as well. So why would you drop a Mario game in April, especially when you have Tears of the Kingdom, you know, not that far further down the road, rather than having that as your holiday game for 2023? It makes total sense looking back at it now.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with Nintendo is that fans, analysts, everyone tend to think, well, man, if you would have done this now, you would have got a bigger response. Yeah. Nintendo says, we've done the research. We know when the time is right. And
I think if they dropped a Mario game, the 2D Mario game in April with the movie, I mean, it still would have sold a lot. It probably would have sold a ton of software. But maybe the hardware side wouldn't have been as high as it would be coming into the holiday, you know, season where, you know, there are Switch systems being sold like all over the place. So, yeah, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's holiday, you're going to have like a Mario Kart bundle and all of a sudden you're picking up a new Switch with Mario Kart, 2D Mario game as a Christmas gift, or you're upgrading your Switch because you say, oh, I want to get the OLED model now because I want to play that new 2D Mario game on the best screen Nintendo offers. All this is calculated by Nintendo months, a year in advance, and they just wait for that moment to strike. And, you know, as we said, they're going to have a really big holiday. And when we look into 2024, they still have games to come. Fire Emblem, Metroid, Luigi's Mansion, Dark Moon, Super Princess Peach. Well, you know, we're sure to see some other 2024 games at the next Direct, or the potential of a next Direct, which we can talk about right now. Do you think we get an Autumn Direct as per usual?
Ooh, man, this is a hard question. I mean, it's easy to say, well, we can just look at history, and history tells us, yes, there will be a September Direct. I think so. I think there will be a September Direct. But I don't say that with any level of confidence. Like, I don't think it's a lock, because the question again is, well, what are they going to show us? Well, we know some things that are coming out next year, right? We have a good idea, and some of these things need some dates, right? We know that Super Princess Peach needs a date, Luigi's Mansion needs a date. Like you said, there's Metroid Prime 4 potentially. We could get some info on that. But I am curious whether, you know, Nintendo basically told us, hey guys, you're getting everything for the remainder of this year. You're getting a first party game every single month for the remainder of this year. So just hold tight and we'll have a direct early next year, you know, to update you guys. I could definitely see them do that. Like in some ways, I feel like a September direct isn't really necessary because they have given us what we needed, you know, for this year. However, again, I go back to, you know, past, you know, history, and a September direct is usually something that they do have. So based on that, without any level of confidence, I'm going to say there will be a September direct. What do you got though? What do you think?
Yeah,
honestly, I do. I'm 50-50 on this one. You know,
like I do anticipate an autumn direct.
Mm-hmm.
So now if you want to say that September, early October, you know, that's a discussion point for whoever's listening who wants to make that a conversation point. I'm going to go, yes, there will be an autumn direct for the points, you know, we have previously touched upon.
Yeah.
It'd be a good time to give a trailer for Metroid Prime 4, again, depending on when it's coming out. If you still want that game out in the first half of 2024, September is really the last point you have to make that so. And then you have the Fire Emblem 4 remake. If you want that out within a similar time frame as you had with Fire Emblem Engaged, you would do a mirror marketing campaign for it. So autumn fits that well, as you know. It really just comes down to how Nintendo wants to approach the marketing. And you know, you can do a last minute marketing blitz for Super Mario Brothers Wonder with an autumn direct right before the game launches in late October. And you can always throw out a few smaller games in early 2024 that haven't been announced yet, be it a Mario Party game or another Kirby game. Those little games that don't need a lot of marketing, they're going to sell just based on pedigree. We can look at the recent example of Everybody Want to Switch, announced on Twitter, hasn't actually been shown in any Nintendo Direct or anything.
Is that game coming out yet? Is it out?
I think it comes out. It comes out after we record this.
Okay.
So by the time this airs, I think it will have been out for a day.
You watch. That game is going to be the party game of the year at the Game Awards.
Does it have any competition?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know yet.
You know what? Let's put some sales predictions on it right now.
Oh, okay. 5 million.
5 million lifetime or by the end of the year?
No, not lifetime. Not by the end of the year. 5 million lifetime. By the end of the year, I'm going to say, 3 million by the end of the year.
Wow, you are being quite generous. I'm going to come in like 1.33 million.
So you're basically just cutting mine in half, or less than half. I don't know, man. I don't know. I think it's going to sell more than what people think. I don't know why. I just feel like it's going to. Some live streamer, you know, Jacksepticeye or someone is just going to play it, and everyone's going to go crazy for it. Parents are going to buy it for their kids. Party game. It's a good party game, apparently. So
nobody said it's good.
I saw a Nintendo video showing 40 live streamers in a room playing it.
Okay, again.
That no one actually could tell me any of those people who they actually were, by the way. I'm not even sure they were live streamers.
The main character's name is MC Horse, and he's a horse. Nobody should buy this game.
Well, I'm not buying it, but I'm just saying. I think it's going to sell about 3 million by the end of the year.
I'm hoping that Nintendo's quarter report comes out and the game has not yet shipped a million copies.
No, it's going to be on the list, dude.
It better not be.
It will be.
I don't want to see all the thumbnails with MC Horace with his goofy ass horse face and holding his suit up and be like, yeah, you bought me. No.
I kind of want to just pick it up just for the lulz.
No, you don't.
I want to hate buy it. I'm sorry. Let's move on. We shouldn't be talking about Everybody Wants to Switch.
No, we shouldn't. I hate that game. Never played it, but I don't like it. All right. So it's natural we have to go with this topic. We already mentioned the transitional software and what is awaiting us in 2024. And Nintendo, I guess you could say, put a little fire going earlier this week when they answered a question the exact same way they answered the question a couple of years ago. When it came time to find out how will Nintendo handle your Nintendo account. And this got people to say, oh, it means new hardware soon. We're going to have backwards compatibility and all of that. And hey, how you want to read it and infer it is up to your own personal opinions. However, new hardware, once again, is in the headlines. People are discussing it. And I maintain the stance I gave back in January. We're not going to see brand new hardware from Nintendo until late 2024. And I think the Nintendo Direct reinforces that. Do you agree or disagree?
I do agree. Hold that thought for a sec. I want to ask you a question. So Furukawa gave the same response that he gave a couple of years ago, like you said. Do you think as an investor, it's a little bit insulting that you're not getting a better answer to a question, knowing that we are at the tail end of the Switch's life? Do you feel like that it should have been answered more appropriately?
I wonder if the question, the way it's asked, the answer that is given is framed as it is because certain specifics he cannot give yet.
Of course.
Almost in a way of, like, yes, your account is going to transfer. We cannot say with 100% confidence in the moment that all of your Switch digital purchases are going to transition over. And that's why they kind of default to, like, NSO. Like, yeah, your NSO account will work. Now, does that necessarily mean all the games on NSO right now are going to be available day one on this new hardware? We can't commit to that, so we're not going to. All we can commit to is that your email and your password will serve as your login on the next system. And, you know, I see the people say, well, this confirms backwards compatibility.
It doesn't.
I'm using the exact same PSN account that I started on my PS3 that didn't give me any of my games on my PS4. And now through, you know, some engineering miracle that if I bought PS1 games on my PSP or my Vita or my PS3 and they're part of Sony's PlayStation Classics lineup, I actually get them for free, which bravo to Sony for going that extra mile. But having account compatibility does not necessarily mean we're going to have software compatibility.
Right. Absolutely agree with that. Look, I didn't want to derail. I just wanted to ask the question. But look, going back to 2024, I mean, there's going to be an announcement, obviously, for new hardware. Now, I think there's been a lot of assumptions that have been made about what that would be. A lot of people are saying Switch 2. And I guess, you know, the good money is, it's probably going to be a hybrid successor to the Nintendo Switch. It's been so successful. Why would they deviate away from that? But look, it's Nintendo. They do what Nintendo does. And I think one of the most difficult things that they've struggled with is transitioning to new hardware and making sure that that new hardware is just as successful as the existing hardware. I mean, if you look at their history, it's something that they've really, really had issues with. Now, the Nintendo account thing, I mean, having reassurance that your Nintendo account will work on new hardware is fantastic. But what does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean backward compatibility is confirmed at all. What that's telling me, and again, we don't have the answers. We don't really know. And I don't really want to speculate too much, but what that's telling me is that, yes, Nintendo is aware of the digital library that you possess that's tied to your Nintendo account. And what I feel like is going to happen is what you kind of touched on. none of the games, well, not all the games might not be ready on day one, but I feel like Nintendo is probably going to start looking at bringing those games to the next generation, whether that is something that you have to pay for to get those updates, or you just get for free as a patch or something like that. I couldn't say. But what it's basically telling me at this point, because we don't know specs, we don't know anything about the new hardware, and I want to be very clear to people that are listening, what it's telling me is it seems like Nintendo is planning on bringing out updates to their existing catalog to the new generation. And those updates, if you have purchased them digitally, will be available to you, but they may not all be available on day one. So what does that mean? Well, that's not backward compatibility, is it? That is basically, you know, what Sony does with PS4 patches for PS5. It's just an update, right? So I don't want to say too much more and speculate on things because we have zero knowledge of what the new hardware is. But it seems like, you know, if the talk is, well, Nintendo accounts are coming over, so, you know, you're in good hands, I kind of get the feeling that it only really ties into your digital library and potentially a subset of that digital library. There may be a games that are tied to your digital library that will never come out. So I don't know. This is a tough one to really speculate too much on based on what we know. And the only thing that we really know is, yes, there is some new hardware coming at some point, probably next year. And yes, you will be able to sign in with your existing Nintendo account. I think something like NSO, which obviously is on the Switch right now, will get ported to new generation, because why not? I mean, that would be something, again, that's tied to your Nintendo account, so you would have access to your NSO library as well. But beyond that, I couldn't really say what we should be expecting. But I think, look, I made a video about backward compatibility months ago, and it was very polarizing. A lot of people were upset with me because they just thought, well, MVG, what are you talking about? Of course it's going to be backward compatible. But I presented clear scenarios where it may not be as simple for Nintendo to bring a new system out with, you know, I guess, legacy backward compatibility where there is a Switch cartridge slot and you can play your games without any type of, you know, patches or anything. So look, I don't think the answer is cut and dry as what people think, but I do think that Nintendo is obviously aware of it, especially if Furukawa keeps answering, you know, the same question with the same response. And I think that their approach, at least as of the making of this episode that we're talking right now, it seems like it's going to be based on specific patches and game patches that get brought to the new hardware.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot to learn on it. And, you know, jumping to assumptions and conclusions based on very, very limited PR-driven response is a fool's errand at this point in time.
Yeah.
And like right now, you know, there's still some expectation that Nintendo might have new hardware coming out in 2023 or this fiscal year. When you look at this direct and the software that was presented, I would say the 2D Mario game alone is enough to negate that expectation. And you can make the argument then, oh, but it could be cross-gen. Yes, you can make that debate. And it's one of those impossible things to really debate because you're trying to prove a negative. It's Nintendo clearly is still focused on the Switch throughout this fiscal year. There are still announcements of Switch games to come, be it this calendar year or this fiscal year. The Switch is on its way out, but Nintendo is giving it quality support until that transitionary period is upon us. And as we mentioned, there are games that are clear signs that the transitionary period is going to be upon us in 2024. Now, whether or not it begins at the onset of the introduction of Luigi's Dark Moon and Super Princess Peach, and will there be additional games that are announced, be it later this year or early next year, that further feed that line of thought. We will see when the time comes. But Nintendo still has some substantial games from their own partners that are coming to the Switch, and new hardware will be coming by late next year. It shouldn't be any later than that. I would be very surprised if it somehow falls into 2025, but there is that possibility that maybe early 2025, but still within that fiscal year of April 2024 until March 2025, new hardware will be introduced and released by Nintendo.
Yeah, the difficult part is knowing how far along Nintendo is with next generation, because you can't really launch next gen unless you have some games ready to go, right? So the hard part is trying to understand how long these games have been in development for and how much longer is necessary, because you can't go out there and just launch a system without games. I mean, look at the launch of the Xbox Series S and X. You know, it was not a good launch for Microsoft. Even the PS5 had Demon's Souls, I believe, was the only exclusive game. I may not be. Is that right?
Yeah, it had Demon. Know. Yeah, because PS5 launched with Demon's Souls, Miles Morales.
Yeah,
and
which was a PS4 game, right?
Yeah, it was mostly just cross-gen outside of Demon's Souls.
And look, I know this is Nintendo and it's not Xbox and Sony, but you know, Nintendo would not just launch hardware without any software available for it. So I think it's a sliding scale, and we don't really know when it will be, but I think it's probably going to be late next year, like you said. It could push into 2025, to be honest with you, but it really just depends on what the software side is looking like. And I agree with you. I don't think that 2D Mario and Super Princess Peach and Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon could be considered cross-gen games, because, I mean, in some ways you could say, well, maybe they could just have them ready to go for the next piece of hardware. But normally when there is a next generation, there's games that are geared for the hardware itself rather than these ports, unless they're enhanced in some way. You know, there's significant enhancements maybe in terms of graphical fidelity or things like that. But these, like 2D Mario, I mean, it's going to look gorgeous, right? Whether you're playing it on a small Switch Lite, or you've got that thing docked on your OLED TV or whatever, it's going to look beautiful. So I don't feel like a game like that really needs a next generation update or a next generation version. But you could put the case for something like Metroid Prime 4. Potentially being a cross-gen game, and there's been rumors about that. There's been talk about that. I personally don't think that's the case either. I think whatever comes next, there'll be some brand new announcements for new games that we don't know about. Now, will those games also get announced for the Switch? Well, probably. I mean, if there is a will, there's a way, right? I mean, you still have that 150, well, hopefully by then 150 million user base that you're tapping into. So I think anything's possible, but I do think that next year, late next year, is probably the move for Nintendo. But again, it all depends on whether these games are ready to go around the same time.
You see, that's the interesting thing, is like we have the 2D Mario game. So clearly we're not getting a 3D Mario game this generation. So that kind of has that possibility of positioning itself as a launch game for next generation Nintendo hardware. Then if you want to go that hypothetical route of Metroid Prime 4 going cross-gen, because a lot of the Nintendo teams that we saw back in 2017 release games haven't released a new game this generation, like the 3D Mario team. We got a new Splatoon, but we haven't gotten a new Mario Kart. We got the Zelda. Mm-hmm. So a lot of Nintendo's key teams haven't produced another release this generation, which you would then argue it's because they've been working on what's next.
Yeah.
Like, you know, obviously they probably had some assistance in various projects over the years, but as far as working on their next major new release, they've been gearing up for what Nintendo has planned for their next gen system. And, you know, Nintendo has likely been planning on that. You know, Monolith has very likely already pivoted to Nintendo's next gen system. You're not going to get another Xenoblade game on the Switch. Whatever Monolith comes out with next will be on new hardware. So Nintendo's teams have definitely begun to transition over there, and that's why we get these smaller transitionary games with Luigi's Mansion and Super Princess Peach to fill that void created by the major development studios working on brand new things for new hardware. So you have those smaller development teams just putting out those filler releases, and that's how I view titles like Luigi's Mansion as those transitionary things of,
yeah,
we need to fill the void because our big teams are busy working on new hardware and we can't just abandon it. Nintendo used to abandon their hardware in the past where it was just, well, we're done. We're beginning to pivot to new hardware. And you could tell when all of a sudden the software schedule just went from like two or three games and you say, well, Nintendo's clearly done with this, like the GameCube.
Right.
Aside from like Twilight Princess, Nintendo really didn't have that many releases coming out at the GameCube at that point in time. You could tell their focus was the Wii.
Oh, yeah.
And you just kind of sat there like, well, what's coming out for the GameCube this year? Twilight Princess. Like, but that's 10 months away. What else is coming out from Nintendo this year? Nothing.
Nothing.
Like, oh, cool. And yeah. Nintendo's gotten better over the years where they try to support the systems a little better. But the 3DS may have soured them a little bit because you brought Metroid, Samus Returns, Luigi's Mansion, Mario and Luigi.
Mm-hmm.
And these games didn't sell all that well on the 3DS after the introduction of the Switch. So how Nintendo wants to address and approach this cross-generational period as we advance into late 2024, early 2025, is going to be an interesting thing to gauge whether or not they just snip and cut support off, or they still bring some smaller titles over to the Switch as they ramp up that user base of whatever is to come next.
Yeah, I totally agree with everything you said there. I think Furukawa's biggest challenge is going to be how he manages the transition to next generation. And I think,
yes,
I mean, he's obviously been very, very successful for them during his tenure so far, but this is going to be his hardware. Like the Switch was not his when it started, obviously, but this is going to be his, you know, this is going to be like a real test of it, his leadership, to see if he can get this transition running smooth for Nintendo where they don't have significant gaps and kind of downtime, I'll say, and people do embrace the new hardware, because it's going to be very difficult to get people moving away from the Nintendo Switch, I feel like, as well. You know, why should I give this, you know, this handheld up that I've had so much enjoyment from? So I think they know all those things, and I think they have a plan in place. Whether when they execute on that, it bears fruit will definitely be remain to be seen. But I think they just need to look at the things that they've done in the past and try to, you know, come up with a better strategy for it. And I think they're probably working on those things as we speak, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think the key thing to do a smooth transition would obviously, you know, be the account system, backwards compatibility, if you can achieve it, and just having a strong launch lineup of compelling software. You can't have a repeat of the Wii U where you launch with something like New Super Mario Brothers U, which wasn't exciting. It didn't look really that much better than New Super Mario Brothers Wii if you had just looked at them quick. It was just like, oh yeah, it's the Wii game in HD. You have to do something that is truly defining of a next generation. And that's where Breath of the Wild was such a powerful launch game. It really just took you, so you could play this console game in handheld mode and get the full experience. And it was like, wow, this is game changing. So whatever Nintendo has next, you need that major launch game, and a 3D Mario would fit the bill beautifully if they can have it ready. And if it has new game mechanics and brand new exciting concepts, that's how you launch new hardware. And, you know, I think Nintendo is fully aware of that, but that's something we're not going to find out for quite some time. As of now, all we can do is speculate and wonder.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before we go into some of the Streamlabs questions, I want to get just general quick takes of the direct and just your reaction to it. Good direct, bad direct. Did it answer a lot of your questions? How are you feeling about Nintendo following that direct in 2023? Just general basic stuff.
Well, as I kind of touched at the start of the show, I thought it was a very good direct. It was above average. It kind of exceeded my expectations. And yes, it did answer my questions, because I think that was really the key thing, was we didn't really know what was happening. You know, there was a lot of people out there saying that this was it for Nintendo. Now we sit and wait after Pikmin 4. We sit and wait for next generation, or other than Metroid Prime, right? Which a lot of people had already written off as a next generation title as well. So it really alleviated many concerns and answered a lot of my questions. As far as the actual games that were on display, I thought that the first one third of the direct was pretty mid for me. I really don't care about Pokemon games, and I don't care about cozy farming games and some of the things they started the show with. Initially, I thought, oh my God, this is going to be a terrible direct. I don't know, what they're doing right now. But things did pick up after that. I was very happy to see the Metal Gear Solid Collection, which you predicted. So good job on that. I'm not really sure about what that's going to look like when it comes out, but I will be checking it out. Batman Trilogy as well was another surprise. We've talked about that on the show as well. And the first party games were just kind of the cream of the crop for me. Very, very happy to see the 2D Mario, Super Mario RPG was probably the highlight for me. We kind of knew a 2D Mario game was speculated, so we're kind of expecting a one more thing, and I'm glad it did appear. But Super Mario RPG was probably my big surprise of the show. And overall, above average Nintendo Direct, and I give it a solid B+. I was very, very happy with it. It probably would have been an A if we got less cozy farming games, and maybe they threw in an F-Zero or just something a little, something extra. From Nintendo. But B+ was a very good direct for me.
I think it was a good Nintendo direct,
mm-hmm.
but not necessarily a great Nintendo direct.
Okay.
Now, what I mean by that is Nintendo's presence was the highlight of the show. Nintendo showed up with the Mario games and first party efforts, be it Pokemon, all the Mario themed stuff, Pikmin. But overall, the direct itself, when you include third party stuff, I don't think was necessarily strong. So if you view it strictly as a Nintendo fan, fantastic direct. Nintendo brought a lot to this show with the 2D Mario, Mario RPG, Luigi's Mansion, Pikmin 1 and 2, Pikmin 4, a new Wario game.
Mm-hmm.
Super Princess Peach, Nintendo's clearly showing they have a lot left in the tank. The third party stuff was just kind of, I'd say the highlight was Star Ocean 2,
mm-hmm.
which looks fantastic.
Yeah, that got a lot of buzz. Looked really good.
Yeah. Mix of the pixel and 3D visuals. The Dragon Quest Monsters game.
Yep.
But the rest was just kind of like, yeah, Batman, something that's been discussed for between, like me and Sean for probably 18 months now. Like, great, it's finally coming over. It's very late release. Quality trilogy of games, not going to take away from it, but that's one of those, it's so late into the generation of a port. What is, truly the appeal at this, stage of the game? My grade is a B. It was the direct Nintendo needed for June 2023, because it fleshed out the remainder of 2023. It shows Nintendo is bringing a lot of games still this calendar year. And they answered those questions of, is the Switch on the way out? And Nintendo came out and said, no, it's not. We still have games coming. You can enjoy being a Switch gamer for the duration of this calendar year and going into next calendar year. But they did make it clear that the transition is going to begin in 2024 towards something new. It's just going to be a question of when do we hear about it?
Yeah. No, well said. I mean, B plus for me is it's about right. I think it was a solid show. And yeah, look, if there were criticisms, I think you're right. Maybe that would it could have been stronger in the third party department. But if you were a Mario fan or a Nintendo fan, you're coming away pretty happy. I mean, I saw people say Josie, our co-host on the Spawncast, she said it was the best direct ever. I saw a lot of people say it was the best direct ever. And look, I think there's definitely a case for that. I would have wanted to see a little bit more meat on the bone personally, but I was pretty happy overall. And Nintendo did answer the call, and I think they did all the right things.
Yeah, for a Mario theme direct, I think it was strong. Like, obviously, it would have been great to see Metroid or F-Zero or Fire Emblem or some representation of their other franchises, but that's what the Autumn Direct can always give us.
Very true.
Now we can go into some of the Streamlabs questions we have for this week. And our first question comes from the Zelda Sensei, whom this episode is dedicated to, and donated $100, and they write, "This year, games like Tears of the Kingdom, Final Fantasy 16, Street Fighter 6, Starfield, and Spider-Man 2, among other games, are releasing, and it feels like a pinnacle year in gaming history. Is there a year or time that jumps out to you where it felt just like quality after quality game?" Yes.
Yes. What do you got?
2001.
Go on.
So in 2001, the PlayStation 2 had Devil May Cry, Final Fantasy X, Gran Turismo 3, Grand Theft Auto 3, Ico, Jak and Daxter, Metal Gear Solid 2, Silent Hill 2. And we had the Xbox launch with Halo. And we had the GameCube launch with Smash Brothers, Monkey Ball.
I mean, that's
Luigi's Mansion, Wave Race.
So I'm going to say 2004, but 2001 is probably number two for me. And I mean, like, number two as in literally right behind. So 2004 was Halo 2, Half-Life 2, Metroid Prime 2, MGS 3, San Andreas, which is my favorite Grand Theft Auto, Knights of the Old Republic. There was also, I believe, Ratchet and one of the Ratchet and Clank games came out. I think it was Up Your Arsenal as well. Killzone. It was a pretty good year for me. I'm going to say 2004, but 2001 was huge as well. But to answer the initial question as well, this year 2023 has been a very, very good year. We're eating good this year. You can't walk away from this year and say it's not going to be a good year for games. It's been one of the best years in games for a long time. But yeah, 2001, 2004, I mean, there are some absolute banger years for me.
Yeah, like that golden age of the PS2, GameCube, Xbox, some of those years will just never be reached again simply due to the output.
You got Ninja Gaiden in 2004 as well. Come on. 2004 was a great year.
It is a great year. But keep in mind what I said of 2001, that was only the PS2's holiday.
Yeah. 2001 was amazing. Absolutely amazing.
It was just the way developers could and publishers could put out games back then.
Yeah.
I mean, like 3-year gaps between Metal Gear Solid 2 and Metal Gear Solid 3. Think of that.
Yeah, crazy.
Like, there's a reason the PS2, GameCube, Xbox generation is considered the golden age of gaming.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just got major release after major release. And man, if we could go back to those days. But this is close. This year is close to what we grew up with.
Yeah, it's been a very good year.
Then had a $10.96 donation from Mary Uki Tai, writes, With online discourse about video games being polluted by a lack of knowledge about the inner workings of the industry, do you think mainstream outlets should try to enlighten through educational content, or is the consumer's attitude too hard to crack?
Ooh, tough question to answer at the end of us talking for about an hour. Oh man. I think outlets, it's just going for clicks. You know, they're going for views, right? Like they're trying to make money. They're trying to do what everyone else is doing. They're playing the game. So I don't know. Like, I feel like they could potentially look at educating, but I'm not really sure if that's something that would generate them a lot of interest and revenue personally. What do you think though?
Yeah, I don't think the consumer is interested in actually learning about that side of the industry. Ultimately, yeah. The consumer only cares about what am I getting? What's it going to cost
me? Exactly. Like, and it reminds me of that whole thing when GTA 6 leaked, or the you know, whatever that was. And all these game developers were showing, because there was that narrative about, you do the graphics first before you do anything else, whatever it was. And then all right. The studios were showing their in progress games that they were working on. It was cool, right? But like, people just want to know when your game's coming out. They don't really care about like a development diary. I mean, there are people out there that do care about it, but generally speaking, gamers want to just know when your game is coming out.
Yeah, they want to know when the game's coming out, how it's going to look. And I mean, ultimately, that's it. We've seen how people weaponize FPS and resolution in favor or defense of their favorite plastic box. And even if you had a developer go to these outlets and give a full-on interview saying, we chose 30 FPS for this reason, the consumers are still going to say, I spent $700 on this box in 2023 and I'm still getting 30 FPS. What the hell's wrong with these developers? This is what we designed the game in mind to do. It was a creative decision. And that's what they're explaining. But ultimately, you're still going to have the entitled consumer who thinks they know more about the industry than the developers and the people making the games, because they spent $70 and they played the game, and their knowledge stops and starts with they can push the power button on their system.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just look at the, I don't want to drag this on, but just look at the discussions about Xbox games skipping, different games skipping Xbox. There's a lot of different takes about why, and most of them are wrong, to be honest with you. But it doesn't matter, because people, there are people out there that are upset that, their game or the game that they want is not coming to Xbox. And it's just one of those things where it's just like, well, developers are lazy, or there's some narrative about, why this isn't happening. But I can assure you that there are different reasons behind the scenes as to why things like that occur.
Mm-hmm. I mean, at the end of the day, it is a business, and business decisions are made for a variety of reasons.
Yep.
And our next question comes from Liam Werner, who donated $1 and writes, at this point, do you think the Activision acquisition is still going to go through? Because it's starting to look like it won't. Based on the FTC hearing this past week, I think the deal is going to go through. The FTC has more or less embarrassed itself every time it goes out and asks questions and repeats the same question to Microsoft individuals, like asking Phil Spencer just asinine questions, to the point where the judge intervenes and says, okay, move on, because you're wasting our time. So unless the FTC is doing some illusion, I still think this deal ultimately goes through.
Yeah, I think it will as well. Like, there was definitely a moment there after the CMA had kind of said no and they kind of blocked it, that I felt like maybe the wind had gone out of Microsoft's sail a little bit, and they were soul searching potentially for or something that, you know, they should be doing. I personally felt like they should have walked away after the CMA kind of said no and the FTC decided to file a suit against the deal. But as we've seen this week in court, it has just shone a light on the fact that the FTC has literally no idea what's going on. And you're right, Nate, Microsoft is completely embarrassing them. Everyone's embarrassing the FTC because they have no idea what's going on here. I think they're learning a lot about the industry as this is going on. And I do think that Microsoft has been re-energized after proceedings this week. And based on some of the kind of the internal emails we've seen and some of the redacted stuff and things, it does give me that feeling that this deal will eventually go through. Now, when that will be, I don't know. I mean, it probably may be next year before it goes through. It's hard to say, but I think the deal is probably going to go through.
Then had a $0.09 donation from RetroTux, who writes, "It is great to see Microsoft working hard to get more Japanese support. A new Atlas IP first shown at an Xbox showcase is a big W. What is still missing is a strong exclusive JRPG in the style of Lost Odyssey. Do you think we will see one this generation?"
We could. I mean, I think Microsoft and Xbox have the desire to do something like that. I know that they're actively working in Japanese markets, trying to secure deals. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that we could see an announcement like that come to Xbox exclusively, or announce first on Xbox, I should say. So yeah, I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, there's still a long way to go this generation. I mean, Phil Spencer kind of said during the FTC hearings that he thinks that next generation will be around 2028. So if we're to believe that, we've got another 5 years to go. So, you know, statistically or mathematically, there's definitely a possibility that could occur. There's five more Xbox showcases to come. So could we get an announcement in the next 5 years? Maybe. So I'm going to say there is a likelihood.
Maybe. I mean, I struggle to think of a company that Microsoft would be able to align themselves with an exclusive deal to develop something like that out of Japan at the moment. But I mean, I would love for Microsoft to embrace that direction again that they had during the original Xbox and the first half of the Xbox 360 generation, because they were a completely different company back then in comparison to what the Xbox has become. And if they could get back to those days, I think it would be good, not only for them, but the industry as a whole. So I'd love to see it happen, and hopefully it does. Then had a $5 donation from TJ. "With all of the high-profile, critically acclaimed blockbusters releasing this calendar year, could this be the best year for gaming in the 21st century? Will this Game of the Year debate be the toughest in the history of the Game Awards? Love you guys."
Well, we already said that the early 2000s were the best year in gaming. As far as Game of the Year this year, ooh, it's going to be tough to pick the Game of the Year, but I would still say personally, and I know Nate hasn't played the game yet, I personally think that Tears of the Kingdom is probably the runaway winner. But we are playing Final Fantasy 16 right now, and that's a very good game. We still have Spider-Man 2 to come, Starfield. Starfield could just walk in and just change video games for the better. So that could easily take Game of the Year as well. There's still a lot of things up in the air, but I think it's probably going to be Legend of Zelda for me. At this point, at least. Need to see Starfield, though.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting conversation for Game of the Year when we get to the end of the year and really sit down, evaluate the year, the games that came out, which games made a lasting impact and such. So it should be a fun, though competitive, conversation when the time comes. And we had a $1 donation from Dragon Chi. When do you think we will see some love for the Quintet games on Switch, either for NSO or a remaster treatment, especially for Terranigma?
What do you think, Nate?
I couldn't even fathom a guess. I guess it really just comes down to resources and making ports happen, and is there interest in it? The fact that, you know, there hasn't been that much love on them, I would imagine there's a reason behind it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, some of these games in obscurity, they have a beloved fan base, but whether they'll ever see the light of day again is really, really hard to speculate.
Then had a follow-up donation from DragonChi26 of $1.02, and they write, "We know Ni No Kuni 3 is in development. When will we see an announcement? Tokyo Game Show, possibly?" I mean, that's a very fitting venue for an announcement of that type of game.
Yes, I agree. Tokyo Game Show is a good platform for Ni No Kuni 3.
Then had a $5 donation from Adrian. "Wow, what a direct. We live in a world where all four Pikmin games will be on one platform. Hopefully we can say the same thing about Metroid Prime someday. That would be the dream."
I feel confident that by the time the Switch generation is done, there's a good likelihood that we will have four Metroid games on that on the Switch. You think
Well, I mean, technically we have Prime 1, we'll have Prime 4, we technically have Super Metroid. We have Fusion. I mean, do you think we'll have all four Prime games on the Switch?
Well, let's put it another way. Games that you can purchase rather than being provided as a service.
All right. We have Dread. I would love the fact that we have Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon coming over.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me want them to do Samus Returns.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
But I kind of feel like, you know, we're just, you know what? That wouldn't be a bad, it was a transitionary title for the 3DS. So it wouldn't be a bad transitionary title for the Switch.
There you go.
September direct prediction, Samus Return.
I like it.
Then had a $1 donation from Liam Werner. "Not to get too ahead of ourselves here, but do you think there's a realistic chance at a Mario RPG sequel if the remake performs well? Also, Pikmin 1 and 2 in HD on one cart for $50 might be the best deal Nintendo has offered this generation." I believe the director of Mario RPG had said that they have interest in making a sequel, so maybe this game is a barometer for that potential.
I think this game is going to sell extremely well. Whether that, I don't really know what they're expecting it to sell to determine a brand new Mario RPG, but this game is going to sell well. That's all I can say.
Yeah, it definitely has. I could see it sell 5 million copies.
Yep.
Then had a $1 donation from Liam Werner. "Do you think this Direct may have eliminated the need for Nintendo to do something in September? They dated games in November, and since a January Direct for next year would likely show off the first half of 2024 anyway, a September Direct might be pointless."
Well, we already addressed that question. I kind of felt like it's probably going to happen. But if it doesn't, then I could see why. But I think Nate kind of clarify, there's probably a good reason for a fall Direct this year, and I kind of tend to agree with you on that. But I think there will be one.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely see the side of the lack of need, but Nintendo always likes to do something before the holiday season and communicate just that those final games for the fiscal year that would be in early 2024 and get people excited about the upcoming calendar year. So I still believe an autumn direct will happen per normal. Then had a $1 donation from Jackie G. "Should we be worried about Wonder Woman? Shadow of Mordor is one of my favorite games, but after WB's weird monetization of the sequel, and now what we're seeing with Rocksteady and Suicide Squad, I can't help but be concerned at the state of the game."
Well, I wouldn't be worried right now because we don't really know much, but based on past, there is definitely some concern there that they could riddle it with monetization type stuff, microtransaction stuff, I should say. But we'll just have to wait and see on that one. It seems like WB has the knack for doing that, but I'd also like to believe that maybe they've, you know, they're licking their wounds a bit from some, you know, failures they've had over the last few years and reassessing how they should provide a good gaming experience for their customers. So hopefully they don't, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Then had a $3.34 donation from Who is Bowser Jr.'s Mum? And they write, Aussie, 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 oi, oi, oi.
Thank you for that. Appreciate it.
Is it too late for Ultra Street Fighter 4 on the Switch? The older games are a pleasant novelty, but Ultra 4 is what's needed. Does Sony have one of their cock block exclusivity contracts on this one for the 8th gen consoles?
It's too late for Street Fighter 4 on the Switch. It's too late.
Damn.
Yeah. You can play the Street Fighter collection. Right?
That's true.
Which is pretty good.
Then had a $3 donation from Arkansas64. What are chances more rare N64 games are added to NSO this year? Is Xbox holding out? Nintendo not interested? NSO needs Jet Force, Perfect Dark, Banjo 2, and Donkey Kong 64. What resources are required to make this happen? Thanks for your insight. Big fan of the pod.
None of those games are coming to NSO. Even though Sean keeps telling me more rare games are coming, none of them are. I feel like GoldenEye and Banjo were things that were already in the works. I think when Banjo came to Smash, basically Microsoft said, hey, we want to put Banjo on the NSO. And they're like, okay. And the GoldenEye thing, I mean, man, that was, I don't even know, like, the deal that was struck for that. But whatever was struck was something that wasn't very, very good in terms of what the fans were looking for. I think you know, Diddy Kong Racing and Jet Force Gemini, I'd love to see those games on the NSO, but I don't think they're going to make it on there. Tell me I'm wrong, though, Nate. Have you heard something? Tell me I'm wrong. Give me something.
I haven't heard anything to suggest one way or the other, but I keep the faith that more rare games will come to NSO.
I like it.
And our final question for this week comes from Zubmer, who donated $3. If Xbox buys Activision, will PlayStation give in and divulge their dev specs to Xbox, or will they hold out like they did with Minecraft? Also, what could PlayStation do to make Xbox divulge their dev specs to PlayStation? Technically, I believe PlayStation would know the Xbox dev specs because Sony Santa Monica, or no, sorry, Sony San Diego develops MLB The Show for the Xbox.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, even though everything is NDA and secretive and all that stuff, I mean, look at the specs. Look at the specs of the PS4 and the Xbox One. And look at the specs of the PS4 Pro and the Xbox Series. Sorry, the Xbox One X. And look at the specs of the PS5 and the Xbox Series X. They're very, very similar, right? It's not a coincidence. You know, like AMD makes the same SoC manufacturer, you know, makes chips for the different hardware consoles. But they're all very, very similar with each other. And I'm not saying that, you know, Sony knows exactly what Xbox is doing in terms of specs of their new generation, but there's a pretty good understanding about what hardware specs look like. So I think that's why most of the time they're very, very similar to each other, especially the PS4 and the Xbox One era. I mean, those systems were almost identical to each other in so many ways, other than, you know, PS4 had faster memory and a couple of different additions and features. But Yeah, I don't think it's a coincidence. I mean, AMD, they basically control this stuff. And, you know, I think anything that gets made by them for Xbox or Sony, they're going to be pretty similar to each other, you know, in terms of specifications and power.
Yeah, when Jim Ryan put out the question saying, like, we're not going to give them PS5 dev kits or future PlayStation dev kits if they have Call of Duty, it's a really odd take, because we know, like, PlayStation has dev kits for the Xbox, for MLB The Show. PlayStation has dev kits for the Switch due to MLB The Show. So if you want those games on your platform, you have to hand over your dev kits. Now, you know, you can wait until later in the process, once you formally announce the hardware, if you want, due to trade secrets, if you feel as though that's the best means of keeping something secret from a competitor. And that's Microsoft, Nintendo, Sony's, you know, that's up to them to do in those cases. But as, like, Jim Ryan was out there, you can't say, I want Call of Duty, but I'm not going to give you a dev kit.
Right.
If you want the game, you have to give the dev kit over. And if it just comes down to, well, we're not announcing our PS6 until this date, and you want a dev kit at this date, then you just have to accept the fact of, hey, yeah, we're going to give you a dev kit later into the development, and whatever recourse that leads to. I mean, Microsoft also has Switch dev kits, because they've done Minecraft. Which I guess you could say Microsoft itself does not have it. They own the studio who is doing it.
I mean, the other way that I think about this there's so much prototyping and there's so much things going on that we'll never see release. Like, I feel like, and I feel like Xbox has builds of Game Pass, you know, ready to go on PlayStation and Switch. You know what I mean? Like, why wouldn't you port some of your things to different hardware in the situation potentially where you could strike a deal with these companies and get something going, and have some type of vertical slice or a prototype or something to show? But yeah, I mean, I think all the hardware makers have the competition's dev kits in their offices. I think that would be a fair thing to say.
Yeah, it's just, it's an odd thing, the way Jim Ryan went about it. It just feels like he's cutting his nose to spite his face.
Jim's made a lot of interesting takes.
Yeah.
Whether they were taken out of context or whether that was said a long time ago, I don't really know. But he's had some pretty interesting takes this week.
It's been a lot of interesting takes this week just due to this FTC hearing.
I just wanted to get done, man. Like, one way or the other, I just wanted to wrap up. Whether it goes through or if it doesn't, I don't care. Just finish it so we can all move on. I'm sure Xbox feels the same.
As I said months ago, I find the entire topic to be jejun.
And it
continues to be jejun in June.
Mm-hmm.
And if you heard that quote, leave it in the comment section below. And I will give your comment a heart. And that was our final Streamlabs question for this week. If you'd like to support the channel, we have a Streamlabs link in the description below. Donate any dollar amount. Ask a question. We will answer it at the end of the episode. Donate $100 or more. We will dedicate an episode to you. And with that, I'd like to thank MVG for joining me as always.
Always a pleasure, Knight. Thanks for having me on.
And if you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like the video. If you did not, give it a dislike. Let us know your thoughts on the Nintendo Direct, the future of Nintendo in 2024, and your general thoughts on what we discussed this episode in the comment section below. And until next time, continue to embrace the hate.